This is Houston Matters. I'm Celeste Sherman, in for Craig Cohen. On the second Monday of every month, we welcome your gardening questions for Meg Tapp from the Garden Club of Houston. Meg, good morning.
Hello there.
And whether you're planting something new, trying to salvage something dying, or don't know what to do about whatever is or isn't growing in your garden, we welcome your questions now at talk@houstonmatters.org. Let's jump right in, Meg. So Dinah asks, what resources are out there to plant a full yard landscape? She says, I want to get rid of as much grass as possible. I mean, that's kind of a lot. What do you think, Meg?
I think that's a good thought process, because really grass doesn't help anybody. It covers the space, but it really doesn't provide any sort of help for anything. So if you are interested in doing a whole new landscape, that's great. And we have this thing called the internet that is amazing. Let me tell you about the internet. But there are two that I think of right away. Is there's Better Homes and Gardens, mm-hmm. which they'll have, you can say kind of what space, what sun, what, how much land you want to cover. And they do have those little plans, and I think they're free. You can just download them. And the other one is called Prairie Nursery, and that's a really fun one. I think that's out of the Midwest somewhere, with prairie. But they also have plants that you can buy in groups, and it shows you how they would like them planted. So you wouldn't buy the plants, you just would look at it and see that that design. So those two are great, but neither of those are going to be, I don't know where you live, but neither one of them are most likely perfect for where we live, because we're mm-hmm. in zone 8, 9, depending on, that's a whole other topic. But so what I would do is once you get your plan or see something that you like, there are two places you can go. One is on the internet also, Lady Bird Wildflower Center. And so you would take the list of plants that you just got and run it through that. So you would type them each in and see, yes, does that grow here? Or is that seriously, even though they say it will grow here, it doesn't stand a chance. So that's what I would do first, just to make sure that you're not going to be disappointed with your whole landscape situation. And then the other one is Missouri Botanical, which is the gold standard for any kind of plant identification or growing condition, anything. So it's MissouriBotanical.org. Plant Finder, but the short part of it is MOBOT, so short for Missouri Botanical.org Plant Finder. You type in whatever the name is. You don't even have to do the full-on botanical name. You can do the common name, and it will come back and tell you what zone, and it has a slant for what grows in Missouri, but it definitely tells you what zone it grows in, and you can even pull up a map to see if it's invasive in our area and what kind of light it takes, what kind of water. But that's what I would do, and you sound like you are on your way.
And so David asks, if you have drip lines, is it better to turn them off at night? So let's start with first, what is a drip line?
Well, David has one.
Okay, yes. So clearly David has one, and I clearly don't know what one is.
So there's three ways to water. The first and best is rainwater, but then there is drip line is better than sprinklers. So what happens is drip lines are like a hose, just like a garden hose, connected to the spigot, and then the other end has a cap. So the water would not come out. The hose wouldn't be a conduit for the water. It would stop it. But there's holes poked all in the whole line of it. So it's a drip line, so that the water drips out in little drabs and drips instead of shooting out the end of that hose. And so the benefit of that is you lay it and you can snake it all in and out of between your plants, and it doesn't have to be buried or anything, but it just sits on the surface. And so when it waters, it doesn't shoot up in the leaves. The leaves do not want your water. That's not their purpose. And it can be worse when you sprinkle water, because if there's any funk living in your soil, if you've got any kind of disease at all, then it makes it splash back up and hit the bottom of the leaves. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have the splashing, which of course rain, that's a whole different thing, and that's fine. But if you have, if you can do it by drip, that's the best because it just keeps it moist all the time and you can control it. I would turn it off at night. I mean, water evaporation is an issue in the day. So everyone knows you don't water in the day because you just waste water because it evaporates right out. So it does happen a little bit with the drip, but you're dripping and it's going down. But there's just it's just not a good environment for your garden just to be damp in the dark.
Well, speaking of watering and drip lines, our producer Michael Haggerty recently planted some flower beds at his home, and he wants to know, how do you know how much and how often to water? And what are some signs you're overwatering?
Most everybody is overwatering. So it's amazing.
Good to know. Yeah, do you hear that, honey?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Did you? No. That was not for Michael Haggerty, right?
No, that was for your husband. My honey.
Just checking. I thought I had uncovered something at the station.
Oh, gosh. This is getting scandalous.
I'm teasing.
It's getting a little warm in here. Open the door.
So most people do overwater. I have seen people's sprinklers going off now, and it's crazy because we had a gully washer for 4 days and we're going to get it again. Your plants really are fine. There's so much going on under the soil. So when you look at them or you're hot and you want some water, you think, oh, I bet they do. But they're sitting in a sponge. I mean, they have wet socks on is basically what's happening. So that even if you, like in a pot plant, the idea is you put your finger in and see if it's how far down you can start feeling the moisture. I mean, think of it, the roots aren't just right at the top. They're pretty far down. So you'd have to stick not only your finger, you'd like a whole, you know, chopstick or something mm-hmm. to see. So really you want to let it get a little bit dry because it's all going on in the depths. So just calm down. Like if you want to water, don't, and then just wait a day. It's like sleep on it. Yeah. But the other thing is if when we really get full on June, July hot and you look out and your poor little leaves are, everyone's all wilted over and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to run out there and water them because they're suffering. That's the worst thing you could do. You are basically waterboarding them because they're trying to manage their day and they know that it will cool down in the evening. So they are shrinking their whole surface that's exposed to the sun and to the air so that they don't lose as much through evaporation. So they're trying to wilt up to protect themselves and that you go and spray them with water and they're like, oh, I'm busy. I'm truly trying to save myself right here. So that's, again, if you can just wait on most watering things.
Right. And I feel like this would be a perfect time just to say a shout out to Melanie Haggerty. So Trisha wants to know if there is a way to contain canna from taking over a flower bed.
Okay. So canna is beautiful and it's a great space filler. And Dinah, I bet it's somewhere in the plan that she's going to get because it's a great filler and it's really pretty for just general gardens. So it spreads by... So it's a clump, and then it underneath the ground, it shoots out kind of like heavy roots. They look like garlic from the store. So that's how it spreads. It shoots out sideways, and then new plants come up from those shoots. So that's what she's talking about, is it really will take over, but all you have to do is just manage it. So when you see a new one come up, then you just take a spade and cut it. Just push it down into the earth and actually cut that what looks like garlic, and then that's the bulb or the tumor or the rhizome and a tuber. And then you pull it out and you can plant it somewhere else. You can pot it and give it to somebody, or you can put it in your compost pile. That actually is a timely thing because I did have my neighbor yesterday saying that some other plant is taking over. Do you want any? I'm like, no, I don't want any. But she's like, I hate to pull it out because I love it. And I'm like, okay, here's the deal. If you can cut something that's just a regular plant, not a canna that does it by the underground, things that look like ginger, but if you, it's a regular plant, if you just cut it off at the top and let the whatever's happening underneath stay underneath and die in the soil, there's lots of things that are dependent on those roots and even those roots dying in the soil. So if you have a plant that you've got too many of because it's just a flower or something, just cut it off at the ground, put the flower in your compost pile and leave the root part, don't pull it up.
Nice. This is Houston Matters. I'm Celeste Sherman. We're talking with Meg Tapp from the Garden Club of Houston. She joins us each month to field your gardening questions. Send yours now to talk@houstonmatters.org. So Meg, my yard seems to have a lot of clover coming in through the St. Augustine grass that we have. it's only in the front yard. It's not in the back. What do I need to tell my husband to do?
Well, so there is grass. I mean, there, everyone is fighting. All growing things are fighting for space in your, on the land. So if you have a bare space, something will fill it up. So if you can make your grass as healthy as it can be, then it will win. It will be the strongest. So that's when you can go to MicroLife. They have a great website, and that's a locally grown, locally distributed and made organic fertilizer. So if you can get your grass as strong as it can be, then it will choke out the other stuff. But also that clover, it really will die out on its own in the summer. But it might be dollarweed. Are you sure it's, if it's dollarweed, then that's a whole other thing.
I'm not exactly sure. I don't have the green thumb in my family, so I go by, that looks like little clovers. You know that?
Well, your husband can go to Southwest Fertilizer in Bel Air, and you can take a picture or even a piece of it and show them, hey, is this, if it's really clover, it really will be fine on its own. I mean, it'll die out.
Well, NPR discussed this morning how recently the USDA updated its plant hardiness map for the first time in 11 years. What does that mean for Houston?
Actually, it's really interesting to me. They have, so there used to be a map, and it's divided. It has the whole country divided horizontally into zones. And so you would know what grows well in your zone. So you look at the map and you see where it's divided up and you find yourself. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm in zone 8. I'm in zone 9. But they changed it recently. And what it is it's with more information. They have now been able to fine tune it. So it's not that things changed drastically, it's that they now have refined it. So we used to all have one zone, like we in this area would be zone 9. Now in our area, there we have the option of being zone 9A and 9B. So they've really just doubled everything, and they've scooted the lines around the boundaries just a little bit here and there. But it really just makes each zone divided into two, so it can be even more specific. So like we would have been in the same zone as, say, Beaumont. But now maybe Beaumont is just a little bit, they might be in 9A and more 9B. I don't know what it is, but it's actually kind of, it's interesting, and it's because they've got all this new data and they keep better records. So it's actually very helpful.
So Meg, what would you recommend planting right now? I feel like we're kind of coming out of spring. We're getting into summer. We're definitely feeling that humidity, the heat coming. What, if I'm heading out to the nursery, what should I be picking up?
You know, the plant that is very happy, it's not a native, but it if you have space to fill, is caladiums. They love our heat. So you can plant caladium bulbs, and it's super easy to plant them, and they will survive all the way, generally to Thanksgiving here, but they make it all the way through the summer, and they love the heat. And they're one that you actually can't plant until really last month. Because if you tried to plant them even in March, it would be too cold for them here, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's a great plant. It's real pretty. You can get all different colors. And there's types that do well in the sun, do well in the shade, and do well in dappled.
If we didn't get to your question, or you think of one later today or in the coming days and weeks, email it to us at talk@houstonmatters.org. And we'll try to address it next time with Meg Tapp from the Garden Club of Houston. Meg, as always, thanks.
Thank you.